Okay, so what we need to remind ourselves is that our walk with the Lord is not just a mental ascent to truth. See, that's why Jesus, and we have to remind ourselves of this every day. Notice it's us he's talking to. You know, the ones who were still there, who hadn't physically departed, they may have been thinking about it and being tempted to, but they were at least still there. And remember, these are the same type people when Jesus taught the kingdom parables and stuff. And then he asked them if they understood, and they halfway said, yeah, you know. And then he said something interesting. He goes into his teaching on building on the sand and the rock. And again, we have to remind ourselves that he's talking to us. That he said, did you understand what I'm saying, or did you hear what I said? And they all went like this. Don't this sound familiar? We all go, yeah. But what did he say? He said, he that hears my word and doesn't do it is a fool. He's building on sand, and his house will not stand. And we got a multitude of professing Christians and backsliding Christians, you know, that are in that category. They acknowledge Scripture, and they believe it mentally. And the Jews did the law. But it ain't doing them a bit of good. It ain't producing nothing spiritually. And he says their spiritual house will have a great fall. And then he proceeded to say what? But you who hear my word and what? Do it. He means put it into practice. See, we have a lot of talk religion. He says, then you are building on a rock. So see, we've got a multitude of people saying, Lord, Lord, Jesus is my Savior. And Jesus himself is saying, I'm not, because you do not obey me. You do not keep my word, and you do not submit to my lordship. So he will deny them at the day of judgment, and they're going to be horrified because they meant to believe he's the Son of God, as the devils do, and tremble. See, and they're going to think that mental belief is going to be sufficient. And he's going to say, it isn't. And remember under Ezekiel, the people were doing the same thing. They'd come to the temple. They'd give their sacrifices and their tithes. And he says, and they'd sing. And God said what through Ezekiel? He said, they come to me and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So they were still giving him lip service. And God is not interested in lip service. So notice what he says in Hebrews again. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So what do we need to see? That sin as a principle does what? It deceives. It poisons. It robs people of truth. It even robs people who once had truth. Again, when we see Laodicea and the Church of Sardis, and they sure fit America today, both of them believed that Jesus was the Son of God and that they were serving him. And both of them, Christ renounced. He told Sardis, you have a name, you're alive, but you're dead. The lampstand was removed. He told Laodicea what? You say you have need of nothing, and you're blind and naked and do not see. You are what? Deceived. And where was he standing? Outside the church, giving them an opportunity to let him come back in. You know, those who backslid. Again, you see the long suffering of Christ. You know, he will go back and he will work with the backslider. And he will work with the lukewarm to a certain place. But he's not guaranteed that the Spirit will keep striving with these people who have been enlightened. And that was the warning of Hebrews, that these people had walked and had known. And he was telling them the great danger that if they fell away and died in that state, how horrible their punishment would be. And notice what he said. And we have become partakers of Christ. Is he talking about professors here? No. He's talking about real believers who have been changed at one time. He said what? We have been partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our faith or confidence. What was the beginning? When we first came to him. When we understood what it meant to be a sinner and to be saved. What it meant to submit to the kingdom of God, to submit to the lordship of Jesus. That was our beginning. When we acknowledged we were a sinner and we needed a Savior. When we acknowledged that we ruled our own life and the devil did. And now we acknowledge the practical lordship of Jesus over our life. That was the beginning. But notice what he said. If we hold, what does it mean to hold? It means to grasp. Why? Something's going to try to shake you loose. That's what it means. Hold. You know, it's interesting. Peter said, lay hold of eternal life. That's interesting. God lays hold of us, and we have to lay hold of Him. It's never one-sided. False teachers will teach you this. You'll find no such teaching. He giveth grace, but grace cannot be despised. He giveth grace, but grace cannot be used in vain. He giveth aid, but it must be received. We have the throne of grace, but we have to come for help. It's not automatic, like many people teach. And you can see how false it is with these people, because they have no holiness, and they do not submit to the Lordship, yet they give God a lot of lip service about how and why they're Christians, because of some little experience they had when they were 5 years old, or 12, or 15, or however. And that experience has long been dead, if it ever was real. See why? Because they didn't continue. And notice what he says here. We are what? Partakers of Christ, the divine life, the Holy Spirit. Under what condition? If we hold the beginning of our confidence, this is our faith, steadfast. This means with perseverance to the end. Doesn't say, because you got it now. See? Again, this is a false teaching out there. Because you said some little prayer, you're sealed and saved forever. You won't find that in Scripture. Oh, you can take Scripture out of context and make it say anything you want. And I've seen people do it, and I can do it. I can give you two Scriptures. You want two Scriptures out of context? Judas went and hung himself. Go and do thou likewise. And I can tell you that's Scripture. It's just Scripture misused. And this is what false teachers do. They twist, as Peter said, they torture Scripture to their own destruction. Many people are torturing Scripture because they don't like what it says. Okay. Go to Hebrews 6. So what was he saying? We are partakers of Christ if we hold on to our faith, if we continue in the faith, if we continue in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we abide in the vine. See, it's not only important that we get grafted into the vine, we have to do what? Stay in the vine. And he says, and then you will bring forth much fruit. See, many people don't stay. And Jesus says when they don't bear fruit, the Father cuts them off eventually. They have to bear something eventually. Okay, and notice what he says. Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence or steadfastness to the full assurance of hope unto what? The end. Now notice what he said up here. Steadfast to the end. Was he talking about, oh, I said this little prayer and I got saved. Now I don't have to ever worry again. You don't find no such teaching in Scripture. You might find some false teachers will teach you, tell you that, and pacify you. Scripture does not. That you do not become dull, sluggish. What is he talking about? What becomes dull? Paul said that their understanding was darkened. Your spiritual understanding becomes dull. What is dullness? It's the same thing that happened to Laodicea. It's called spiritual blindness. Their spiritual eyes began to what? Get a disease. And they couldn't see anymore. Why? Because their spiritual understanding was leaving them. Because they were not walking and continuing in the Lord. And notice the term he uses there. And he says, but imitate those, or be like those, who through faith and steadfastness inherit the promises. And if you take the context of this Scripture, he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about running the race to the end. And overcoming in this life. And what does it say? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. See, there's a lot of people that love their lives too much because they're not in the kingdom. But they're confessing that Jesus is Lord. And they're confessing they once were born again. This simply isn't working for them because they have not done what the Scripture has told them to do. Go to Revelation. Chapter 3. We've come to this many times. This was the church that was blind. Why were they blind? Because physically they were blind? No. If they were blind, what was blind? Their spiritual understanding. Their spiritual eyes were put out. Why were they put out? What happens? Well, see what Jesus says to them. Back up one. You say, now he's quoting what they're saying. Well, a lot of people have a lot to say, don't they? I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He's talking spiritually now. They were priding themselves in their materialistic blessings. They were priding themselves in how their church was physically growing. And they were getting a lot of rich people in there. And that makes the church grow, doesn't it? Especially if you make them elders and treasury members, your church will grow. But see, he didn't evaluate them that way. Notice what he says, you do not know. Why did they not know? Because their spiritual understanding was what? Darkened. And because they did not receive the word, and because they did not keep receiving the word. See, it's enough, you think, to abide or receive the word, but Jesus said, you must continue in my word, then you're my disciple. He didn't say you receive my word once and that's it. No, he said, you must continually abide in my word. And he says, then you are my disciple. He actually gave that as the proof of discipleship. Not a person's confession. Not how many times they were born again. Not how many times they saw Jesus. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. He made it very plain what he wanted. But notice what they said. They do not know. He said, you do not know your spiritual state. A backslider often doesn't know he's backsliding. A deceived person often doesn't know he's deceived. The multitudes that are going to say, Lord, Lord, and start telling Jesus of all the miracles they performed and how many times they prophesied and cast out devils, he's going to call them, you cursed of my Father, into hell. And it's interesting. And he's going to say, you didn't do the will of my Father. And they're sitting there trying to tell him all the wonderful works they did for him. This could be a multitude. And they're saying what? Lord, Lord. They're not saying Buddha, Buddha. Or Muhammad, Muhammad, or Allah, or Allah. Who are they saying? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. And what is he saying to them? Ye cursed of my Father. Isn't this astounding? And see, Laodicea was doing the same thing. They had become worldly. They had mixed the gospel. They had compromised. They had watered down the truth. They had not given the whole counsel of God. They had flattered and pampered people. And the scripture will tell you the many reasons why they did this. And he said, what? Now he's going to tell them something. Here's the people who already the word is being taken from them. The God of this world is blinding them. What is he doing? He's already put the veil over their eyes, and their once had understanding they don't have anymore. See, they're still thinking of the time they had an experience or when they came to the Lord. And Jesus is already telling them, you're blind, but you don't know it. You may remember the time I came into your heart, but you didn't even know it when I walked out the door. You still think I'm here, and I'm not. Why? Because the deceitfulness of sin. Sin lied to him, as Satan lied to Eve. It lied and beguiled and tricked them and caused them to forget the word that was sown. So what is Jesus doing now? They have already forfeited him, yet in his grace he removes the veil. How is he doing it? He's coming with the truth. And what does the truth do? It convicts. He's slaying them with the truth. And they have an option to come back and to acknowledge his judgment. Again, because if they do not judge themselves, they will be judged of the Lord. And notice his counsel to them, his advice. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. It's interesting. They were bragging about their financial prosperity. Does it sound familiar today? They were bragging about how many homes they had and how much gold and silver they had. And it's interesting, Jesus didn't mention this. He said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. What was he saying? If you come to me and get true gold, it's going to be because you overcame the devil. You resisted temptation. You held on and did not go back. You can do what James and Peter said. You endured temptation and received the crown of life. And see, this is what he's telling them to get from him. And that's the only way it's going to be gotten. Okay? And notice what he says. That you may be rich. He's talking about spiritual richness now. And white garments. Buy white garments from me. That you may be clothed. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. They didn't know they were naked, did they? Remember the old king's story? He walked around with no clothes on? Until the little boy told him he had no clothes. Well, see, this is what happens to the lukewarm and the carnal. Those who are spiritual perceive their nakedness. Of course, if you're just as carnal and lukewarm as they are, you don't know you're naked either, nor can you discern spiritual things. See, that's what Paul meant. The carnal mind and the natural mind cannot perceive spiritual things. So Jesus evaluated them as they were. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, and he reveals the truth. But notice what he says. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. What was he saying? Your spiritual eyes are deceived and blind. You can't see anymore. You don't know that I left you. You don't know that you're naked and your sin is shown before God. You don't know that what you have pride in is an abomination to God. You don't know that all your churchianity and all your works don't mean nothing to God. They stink because your heart's not right. This is what he was saying. And they didn't know it. And he was saying, come to me. And how will he give them eye salve? He comes to give them the truth, and they must receive it. And then they get what? The eyes of their understanding will be open, so they will have spiritual wisdom and revelation into the things of God. Let's stop there.